I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your
morning, and welcome to the four message during the corona trial that we go through as a nation, as a country, as also the whole world. And this is a message on the Good Friday. I don't know why it is called good, but I will try and unpack a little bit of that this morning alongside you. I hope that you are well. I hope that this message finds you well and in good health, and at the same time safe and still grounded in the Spirit of God, in your faith in Him. It's again, I struggle with delivering messages from or through this kind of medium. It is for me Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and especially Good Friday. It's the pinnacle of Christian ministry. For me, it's the most important, if not, probably yes, it is the most important act of ministry in the Christian calendar that a pastor can share with his congregation. For me, Good Friday, it's my favorite service. I don't know why, don't ask me why, but it is. When I come and I'm in that church at LBC or wherever I am, and I can share with God's people about the suffering of Christ, about the power of the cross, the promises that it brings, the reassurance that it brings, I'd like to reflect with you this morning on that power of the cross, on the revelation that the cross of Christ brings. But I also I'm not hiding behind the fact that I do miss delivering this kind of reflective service in church rather than just a sermon like I do now from the armchair. Yet again, it is Good Friday, and I hope that this message will bring to you comfort but also challenge, will bring encouragement and hope, but also you will bring God's healing even to this kind of channel of medium that we share through the internet. How good is that we have the internet just now. I'm here in the armchair with a candle there to remind us of God's presence in the midst of tragedy and difficulties and challenges that we all go together at this time as a family of God through all over the world. I'd like to start this morning with a reading from God's Word in very familiar words from Isaiah chapter 53. I use this as a kind of platform for my thoughts this morning that will take us into the cross and reflection on Good Friday 2020. Who has believed our message? Isaiah starts in 53. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This is why I want to talk about the revelation of the cross from this verse, especially verse 1 in chapter 53. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that incredible and powerful words that Isaiah prophesies with a few hundred years before the cross has actually happened? Incredible words from Isaiah chapter 53. I always use, and over the years I've been using these words on a Good Friday. This, in fact, is my number 29 sermon, 29 Good Fridays, 29 years of ministry that I share with you on the message of the cross. What a privilege it is for me to do that from this lovely lounge, this comfortable armchair. Yet I try to bring something that Christ has gone through and has encountered, has suffered, into that power of the cross, into the agony, the pain, and yet the healing, the presence, the power that the cross of Christ brings to us today. I would like to be this a reflective service, but it's difficult to make it as such, so I will try and make it more of a sermonette, in which I like to bring out some truths of God's word as with regard to the revelation, the power, the promise of the cross. It is, if you look around us just now, it's loss of faith in many people, it's loss of loved one in many cases because of the coronavirus, it's loads and loads of discouragement, loads and loads of depression, disillusionment, there is fear, there is anxiety at the moment, there is uncertainty and loneliness. And it is my prayer this specific day for those people who are struggling just now in anxiety, and again financially, they're struggling with loneliness, with mental issues, that they will find comfort and God's presence as a everlasting promise to them, power to them, and indeed as a continuous presence to them from his word and from the power of the cross this morning. Lots of funerals, we've heard lots of still people dying around us because of the virus, and we hear a lot of silly things that people are doing, that gangs abusing people and killing people on the streets all over the world, whether it's London or wherever it is. In the midst of all this tragedy, in the midst of all this doom and gloom, isn't it interesting how even in our country here we find the message of the cross? We find the Good Friday comes right in the midst of this, when we had over 3,000, nearly 4,000 deaths from the coronavirus up to now, and the number is still climbing, steadily but still climbing, when our Prime Minister now has been admitted into the hospital. In the midst of all these difficulties and tragedies, in the circumstances that we've never seen before and probably will never see again, we find the Good Friday, we find the message of the cross, we find the God who comes and dies for us, and dies with us, suffers with us. I'd like to unpack a little bit this thought this morning with you for the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes at the most or so. It's all these things that made us cry out and echo what the psalmist said. In Psalm 22 verse 2 said like this, "O my God, I cry in the daytime to you, but you do not answer, by night as well, but I find no rest." And probably this is where you find that the nights are long, the days are restless, you're struggling with anxiety, with fear, you struggle with panic attacks, mentally, financially, struggle with the children at home, the elderly, the lonely, struggling with loneliness. In the midst of this, I want to bring to you God's encouraging, comforting word to you, and to reassure you of His love and His presence this morning. So before I want to talk about the Good Friday, what we call today, I'd like to talk about the Bad Friday. We all have bad Fridays, especially these last few weeks, last few months. All of us have gone through, or probably are, or will be going through, a lot of bad Fridays in our lives, in our families, a place of work where we work or where we've been working, as such. And how are we to make sense of this terrible and circumstances? But in the midst of this, how are we to account for a loving God who allows for these things to happen? Bad Friday is our story of loss and suffering. It's the day when it feels like your heart cannot break anymore than what it is just now. It's the day when the pain never goes away. It's the day when your world comes to an end, when you come to the end of your rope. Bad Friday is when you cry out to God and answers and the prayers are not answered anymore, or it feels that they are not answered anymore. It's feeling forsaken, forgotten, abandoned, rejected, lonely, and on your own. It's experiences of Bad Fridays that Jesus have experienced on the cross when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Another saying of Jesus, it is finished. It is finished. Everyone, every one of you watching this message could describe a Bad Friday event in your life. I had a few Bad Fridays in my life from the age of 9 when I lost my mother to up to today. A few good Bad Fridays that I remember them over the years. Today is the pinnacle of the struggle. Today holds before us all the Bad Fridays of our lives. Where is God in all this? This is what my neighbor asked me yesterday. Where is God in all of this stuff, in all these tragedies that we see around us? It's the most enigmatic day of the church. We don't want Bad Fridays in our lives. We don't want even a service like this in our church. We can stay away, if possible, for as long as possible from this Bad Fridays experiences. The disciples, Jesus' disciples, they wanted to stay away from it. They didn't want to believe of a God who comes and dies on a cross, and they didn't want to be part of it, basically. This is a very tragic and very difficult day. Not many people want to come to our Good Friday services, not that we have one today, but it's been my experience over the last 28 years that Good Fridays are not a service that you would like to come to unless you really know the meaning of it. As such, even Pilate tried to release Jesus and get away from a day like this. And he says, you take him away from me. I don't have anything to do with this guy. I don't want to have anything with the suffering of this man. You take him away from here. We can never outrun or even escape the suffering of today's world. I just don't understand how God can be all powerful. This is what my neighbor was telling me yesterday. Capable of doing anything, but he doesn't put a stop to this coronavirus. A very fair question to ask by my neighbor yesterday morning. How come that a very all-powerful God allow the ovens of Auschwitz to burn for 40 years? How come that a very powerful God allows the injustice in the world to go on? How can indeed a powerful God allow for the suffering that we see around us today? Is this a loving God? A very difficult question, and I'm not sitting here claiming that I've got an answer for this. I do have a small little answer, but it might not be one that you might expect. It's, I'd like to look with you at an answer that we find here today on a Good Friday. We find in the cross of Jesus. It's not that the cross of Jesus is as brutal and as horrible it might be, and it might look at the face of it, which, because it was really a very brutal act of murder that was adopted by the Romans to kill someone who was a robber, who was revolting at the time against the Roman government. So in its all aspects, when you look at the first sight, the cross is a very ugly, angry, and very difficult, inhumane way of suffering. But maybe that the cross of Christ is showing us a different kind of God. Maybe this day offers us a true image of a very different God, the rather being a God who sent his Son to the cross to die in a very brutal manner. Maybe that in the cross of Christ, in his death, we see a God who is loving, a God who is all-embracing, a God who is compassionate, and a God who is suffering with and for his people. Isn't that what really Emmanuel, God with us, is all about? Jesus is never more real. Jesus is never more human. Jesus is never more embodied and more identified with us and with our suffering than he is on this day, on Good Friday, on that cross. It's not at his birth, it is not in his teaching, it is not in his preaching, or even in the miracles that Jesus has performed, or even at his resurrection. It's on the cross that Jesus has identified with our suffering more than ever before. It's in his suffering and his dying that he is most like us. It is in our suffering and dying that he is most present to us. I find those very comforting words, reassuring words, to understand the power, the promise, and indeed the picture that the cross depicts for us as his people. As we remember, early morning on this day, Christ was arrested, he was tied up, he was interrogated, he was tortured, and then executed brutally on that cross. After that, his executioner took and divided his clothes among them. And the cross is always a story, and it will always remain a story of suffering and death. How is that something so brutal, so inhumane, has become the centerpiece of our Christian faith? You see, as Christians, we don't even have the basin or the towel as the symbol that we carry with us. Our symbol as Christian is the cross. Many people carry that cross as a symbol around their necks, or as some people have them tattooed on their arms, on their chest, wherever. There is something about this story that is both attractive and very repulsive, that there is compelling and yet at the same time very embarrassing. So why is this story of suffering? Why is it that the death of Christ is at the heart of our faith? I'll try and give a little bit of an answer here, but some say that Jesus suffered and died because we were so sinful, so bad people, and he had to come. And I agree, to some degree, that is true, but it's not the only truth of that the scripture brings out of the cross of Christ. I think Jesus suffered and died because we suffer and die. Let me say this again. The cross of Christ shows a God who not only suffers for us, but suffers with us. It is in the cross of Christ that we see a God who identifies himself with us, not only in our sins, but also in our sufferings. That's my answer to the cross. Why the cross of Jesus? Because it is in the cross that Christ himself, God himself, through his Son Jesus Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit, he revealed to us that he is a suffering God, and he takes on the same suffering as we go through. The cross of Christ is my cross, is your cross. The cross of Christ is the cross of the Muslims, is the cross of the Christian, is the cross of the Quakers, is the cross of all the people in the world. Christ identifies on the cross with the suffering of humanity, not just of those who are good, but also for those who are bad, for those who are believing in Christ and those who don't believe in Christ. Christ on this day, he identifies himself on the cross with those who've got the virus and those who have not got the virus, for those who have lost a loved one and those who have not been touched by the virus so far. In any shape or form, on any valley of the shadow of suffering that we go through, Christ on the cross identifies with that valley, with us. The cross is not exclusive to him. So how do we make sense of this cross? What do you do with the world's suffering? How do you understand your suffering in view of this cross of Christ? This is where people get stuck. Sometimes I get stuck. I have not an easy answer, and I'm sure you don't either. But in the midst of this insanity, the only thing I have is a God who suffers. I find that incredibly, incredibly moving, comforting. That's why we cling to and glory in Christ and in the cross of Christ. It's all we've got. A God who, okay, performed miracles, he came and preached to us, he healed us, he showed us the way, he showed us how to preach, how to teach, and so on. But in everything else, it's all we've got, a Christ who suffers. I find that incredibly powerful and moving. Jesus is never more real, let me say that again, never more human, never more embodied or more identified with us than he is on the cross and the suffering that we went through on that terrible act of suffering. It's not at his birth or in his teaching and preaching, in the miracles that he performed, it is on the cross. That's why we call this Bad Friday Good Friday, because on the cross Christ identifies himself with the suffering that we go through just now. Sometimes we want to put flowers on the cross and make it nice and look beautiful, because we don't like suffering, we don't like our own cross. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. We like to make that cross as soft as possible. We want to embellish it, to put it as possible, carry it in a rucksack or just on our chest in a nice necklace, 24 karat gold jewelry. But there is no way around suffering. There is no way around going the pain and the agony that we go through in life and in suffering. And Christ shows us that he is with us in and through the valleys of shadows and of suffering that we go through today. We cannot go around the cross of suffering, but we know, as Christians, as people who trust in God and follow him, we know that in the middle of our lives, in the middle of coronavirus in this nation today, in the middle of this Good Friday in 2020, we know there stands the cross of Christ. This is a Good Friday. This is why we call it Good Friday, because in the midst of the greatest suffering probably that the world has ever seen, stands the cross of Christ. A Christ who suffered with us. A Christ who cries with us, who walks with us, who comforts us, and is there with us in our suffering. Listen, Christ has not taken away the cross from us. He has joined us on our crosses that we carry just now in our world today. How comforting is that? And this is what is called Good Friday. This is the reason it is, because Christ comes and walks with us in our suffering. Why? Because he's been there, he's been on that cross, and on his name, all over his heart is written coronavirus, is written loneliness, is written mental health, anxiety, fear, depression, final struggles, all absorb in Christ on the cross. I don't know what your story of suffering or loss is this morning. I don't know when your heart was the last time broken. Probably this morning as you listen to this message. Probably you lost a loved one as you hear to this as you listen to this message. Probably you're going through a pain that never goes away. You've been carrying with you years and years and years. Let me remind you that Christ knows and walks on his part on this Good Friday of the suffering that you go through just now. Psalm 22 verse 2. When have you cried in the daytime, but have you no answer from God? When did you walk through the day and you could not find rest? Probably this is the time, this is the moment that you go through those difficult circumstances in your life. Anxiety, worry, fear, wounds, broken life at the end of your rope. What suffering do you carry with you while you're listening indeed to this message? I wish I had an answer and an explanation to all the troubles and especially to your suffering as you listen to this message, but I have none. I wish I could make sense of suffering in this life today, but I can't. Not even for me, let alone for you. Jesus does not take us down from our cross. Instead, let me remind you, he gets up on the cross with us. And that's it. That's what I think is called the Good Friday, because he joins us in our suffering today and walks with us that path. This is not called Easy Friday, it is not called Happy Friday, and it's not called Painless Friday. What is today called? Today it is called Good Friday. Really? Really? It is called Good Friday? I think I begin to understand why it's called Good Friday. Because Christ walks with us in our suffering, because he's been there before. So what does this all mean to us? And I want to close this message this morning. What difference does the crucifixion, this brutal murder, make to our life today as we experience one of the most difficult times of our generation as we go through these very challenging circumstances? Does God love us more because Jesus died on the cross? Are we somehow more acceptable, more tolerable to God because Jesus suffered for us? Have we been brought closer to God because of the cross of Christ, because of his death on the cross? I don't believe that that's who God is. The way God acts or how God works and how God loves us is different. Jesus' death on the cross does not make us more lovable. It reveals how much God already loves us. Did you hear that? It doesn't show us how God that we are more lovable to him, but that he already loves us. The suffering of Jesus does not change God's mind about us. No, not at all. It reveals God's mind, heart, compassion that he already has for us. How comforting, how peaceful I find that into my heart, and I hope you will do into your walk with God. The crucifixion of God's Son, Jesus Christ, does not bring us closer to God. No, does it sound shocking? It might well be. It reveals already the closeness that God has for his people in such a way that God sent his Son, his begotten, his only Son that he had, to come and die. For whoever believes in him should have eternal life. That cross already reveals that. It doesn't make us any more lovable. It doesn't bring us any closer to Christ. We are already into his heart. The cross reveals that to us in a new, incredible way. The cross is more about the revelation than the causation of that. Some would disagree and say the crucifixion is a direct cause and effect of a relationship between God and humanity. That is too easy and too mechanical. I find that a little bit too impersonal. He let us off our cross and distanced us from the cross of Christ indeed. Maybe that's how we try to make peace with this day and with the crucifixion of Jesus. We convince ourselves that Jesus died for us, so now everything has now been fixed. We assume Jesus did it and there is nothing left for us to do but believe it and express appropriate guilt for that, or try and do it in a way that through our works we prove God that we deserve to be saved. One cross standing outside Jerusalem hasn't really changed humanity. Wow, you might say, how come? The last 2,000 years have proved that. The fear, the power struggle, the rejection of truth, the sin and darkness that we see around the world, the killings, the disrespect, the racism, has proved that that cross in itself has not changed humanity. The Holocaust, the killing fields of Nigeria, the killings in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the homelessness throughout the world, and so on. Now, we may believe in the cross, but are we willing to participate in it? Are we willing to participate in it? This is the question. If it were only about Jesus' crucifixion and death, we would have been so insistent, Jesus would have been so insistent that we deny ourselves and pick up our own cross. But he was very insistent. He was equally insistent that he would show us the way and how to do it. The way of the cross might become our way. He was very insistent that we take and carry our own cross. For 2,000 years, God has set the cross before us as a choice. It is a hard choice to make. History has proven that. So every year on this day, we gather to hear this story, to be reminded of its revelation, and to make a choice. It's a choice we make every day. Come and follow me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. Good Friday never appeases God nor improves humanity. No, we've seen that, as I said, in the last 2,000 years. It reveals the depth of God's love even in the midst of rejection. It demonstrates that God denies nothing to himself, that humanity is worth all that God has and is. It manifests God's presence in the darkest and most painful parts of our humanity that we're just going through right now. It shows us that God never turns and runs away from his people and their suffering. We are never abandoned. It reveals that security is in vulnerability. It's freedom. Freedom is in surrender. And life is in death. It makes known God's open heart and arms to a suffering world. The thing about Revelation is that it demands a response. And the cross will not go unanswered. We can explain it away, we can say no and repeat history, or we can participate in it. Take up our cross and believe in a better world. Revelation does not simply offer just an information or an answer or news. It offers and invites us to participate in a new reality and a new way of living. And that part of living, suffering, is also our companion. As the cross was the purpose for which Jesus came, so it is also our calling as disciples of Jesus. It is in and through the cross that we will be led to an empty tomb, to a new hope, a new life, and a new experience of love that is eternal and everlasting. It is through the cross that we will find our humanity is to be shared with one another. It is at the cross that we find that God has suffered with his people, cries with them, identifies with them. It is in that cross that we carry daily that Christ comes under our yoke. Walk with us. He cries with us. He shares with us in our tears, in our joys, in our sorrows, in our pain, in our fears, in our anxieties, in our worry. It is on or via Via Dolorosa that we find Christ walking with us. This is the power of the cross. This is the revelation of the cross. This is what we are called as disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's take up our cross and continue to keep our eyes fixed on Christ's cross, as he is the perfecter and author of the run, of the race to run before us. Let me pray with you and commend you into God's care and love. As we reflect together on this message of Good Friday, I hope that you found this message challenging as much as comforting, and that you will continue to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, that you will also know deeply within your heart that the cross you carry just now, Christ is with you. He walks alongside you and he cries with you in the deepest valley that you just go right now through. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message this morning on this Good Friday. We have seen the revelation of your love in the cross of Jesus, Father. Father, we have also seen the depths of love that you have gone through in order to share with us in our humanity, in our suffering and pain. We thank you for being our God, a God who has not come to rule over us, but to carry the cross with us. We thank you that on the cross of Christ, we have seen the depth of your love for us, the incredible, powerful act of forgiveness that you have shared with us as your people. We pray that our eyes will be fixed on Jesus. We pray that as we journey together between now and Easter Sunday, we will continue to have glimmers and glimpses of hope in our Christian life. Father, we want to thank you for those glimpses of hope that we've seen in our society today, in our world today, for people who've been healed from the coronavirus. Thank you for the people who are there on the front line, the doctors, the nurses, the plumbers, the engineers, those who work so hard to keep our lives going, to keep the world going. Thank you for the truck drivers and all those people who've been incredibly sacrificial in their service to our nation, to the world indeed. Father, I pray for those people who listen to this message and struggle with anxiety, with depression, with mental illness, who are worried about their future, young people and old, young and from different nationalities. All those of you who listen to this message, I pray that the Lord will help you, will walk with you and bless you in your struggle just now, that you will know deeply his peace, his love, his care and his compassion into your heart. And I pray that you will make a way through, that beyond the cross as you carry it, there will be a journey that takes you to an empty tomb where we can all, you and I, can cry out in praise, he is alive forevermore. I hope and pray that in this journey you will be able to reaffirm in your life that nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. Not even the coronavirus, not even the worry of tomorrow and the anxiety of today. That you will be rooted and established in his love. May the Lord bless you, keep you, protect you. And may his face shine up in you. May you carry the cross with confidence that Christ is with you, day by day, step by step. Father, I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.